Thank you, Joel. It is such an honor to be up here, and I just do want to thank the pastors for just giving me this opportunity to speak tonight to all of you. We at New Life, we have started the last few years to loosely adhere to what is known as the Christian calendar or the church calendar. And we remember Advent, which is Christ's arrival during the Christmas season. And we've also started to observe this thing called Ash Wednesday and Lent leading up to the Easter weekend. And since we've started observing Ash Wednesday and Lent in the last few years, I often have been asked, what's up with Ash Wednesday? Why should we do this? It seems like such a religious or legalistic thing to do. And let me tell you, I get that. I'm a big sports fan, and several years ago, I remember watching the show Around the Horn on ESPN. This was pre-kids, when I actually had time to watch some TV before I ate dinner. And that show was hosted at the time by Tony Reale. And I remember tuning in one day and seeing a giant smudge on his forehead. And my first thought was, whoa, the makeup person really messed that up. Then it dawned on me, it was Ash Wednesday. And he had engaged in an act of penitence that a whole nation of sports fans could see. At the time, I thought it was a little weird, but looking back at it now, there's something kind of cool about that. But let me say, though, services like tonight, they're a little weird. I get that. It's an ancient practice, and it's not even talked about in the Bible. So why do this? I'll tell you why I need to do this. Because I need to engage in the regular discipline of grounding myself in the journey back to the cross. It's all about the gospel, and I have surrounded myself, as I'm sure most of you have, with distractions that distort my view of who God is. I need discipline in my slightly older age, and this season brings us back to the thing that matters the most. Augustine has a phrase, inculvatus in se, bet you didn't know I could speak Latin, which means curved in on oneself. If I can update Augustine's wording, we have become consumed with ourselves. We are like Grand Canyon tourists who are more taken with how many likes we are getting on our Instagram pictures in that moment than taking in the breathtaking vistas that are in front of us. Instead, we need to be reminded that we were made to look upward and outward with our imaginations to behold the beauty of Christ. So I want to invite you to take a journey with me, to begin a journey back to the cross during this season of Lent, which culminates to the most important event that has occurred in human history. We often hear Christians that will take a tour of Israel, and it's like a pilgrimage for many people who go. Christians who tour Israel, they might come back and they say, the Bible just came alive for me. And the journey of Lent is meant to do the same thing for us. It is an ancient pilgrimage that the Lord uses to recapture our imaginations of and renew our participation in the greatest story ever told. And as we make this journey together as a church, let me give you a few guidelines, and we'll take a look at a couple of overlapping stories in the life of Jesus in the book of Matthew. So at the end of at the beginning of Matthew in chapter 3, we see the story of Jesus being baptized. And baptism in that day was a sign of repentance and still is today, obviously. And there was nothing that Jesus needed to repent from, but there he was modeling it for us. Let's pick it up in verse 13. It says, Then Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. But John tried to talk him out of it. I am the one who needs to be baptized by you, he said. So why are you coming to me? But Jesus said, it should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires. So John agreed to baptize him. And I love that line. In order to carry out all that God requires, let's firstly take a journey of repentance. Let us make concerted efforts as a church in this season to fix our hearts and our eyes on what Christ has done for us, that we may make daily and even hourly prayers of repentance. The Lord wants to use the seasons like this to prune us and make us more like him. And that process involves us being made more holy. And it starts with repentance. And we don't do this out of duty or a legalistic heart either. I love what David says in Psalm 51. You do not desire a sacrifice, or I would offer one. You do not want a burnt offering. The sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart. I've really noticed in my own life the past several months, I've just been struggling with a lot of pride lately. I tend to think I know the best way to do things or that I'm right. Man, I really want to be right a lot. And I have been repenting like crazy about this. I even need to ask others to help me in my repentance. And if I can challenge you guys as well tonight, take steps to pray for repentance and ask the Holy Spirit to examine your heart and actions. But maybe take some steps to invite others into your journey of repentance. We all need accountability, and we all need the strength of the community of the church. Secondly, during this season of Lent, I want to invite you into a journey of self-denial. Use this season to empty yourself of your own strength and to start walking in the power of God's strength. This was so beautifully illustrated by Jesus after his baptism. After this amazing experience that happens during Christ's baptism, he immediately goes on a 40-day fast. And if that was me, thankfully it wasn't, going on a fast wouldn't be my top priority. But here we go into chapter 4. Let's pick it up right there in verse 1. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights, he fasted and became very hungry. During that time, the devil came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread." But Jesus told him, "No, the scriptures say, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Jesus' whole life was about self-denial. He could have had the bread right there. And that self-denial culminated on the cross for us. And today, I invite you to engage in a fast this season, leading up to Easter. Firstly, to maybe understand more fully what Christ has done for you and I. Secondly, though, engage in this journey of self-denial that you may know the limits of your own power, and you might start to know more deeply the unlimited power and strength of Christ. If I can also give you a few practicals on how to fast. I'm sure you've heard people giving up chocolate or social media during Lent, and those are all good things. I myself am trying to severely limit my screen time during this season by being off social media and even limiting how much TV I watch. I want to make more time to be present with my family and those around me. I also don't want to be distracted by what really are some pretty foolish pursuits in my life so that I can be listening to the Holy Spirit. I'm also going to engage in a few fasts that will help me save resources that I might be able to give away. If you fast a meal, use the money that would have been spent on the meal or meals and give it to someone in need. Maybe it's a subscription to something like Netflix or your daily coffee at the coffee shop, but use this fast to love your neighbors in a tangible way. One tangible way that you can give today or in the coming weeks is to some of the at-risk youth that we are ministering to in El Salvador at La Libertad. We have a missions trip going there in a few weeks to help out Sigourney, who's our resident missionary down there. And Sigourney is organizing a way that people can give to at-risk youth there. And so if you are able to give, you can give online. There's a giving page on our website. Or if you want to give today in the giving boxes, just mark La Libertad, and you're able to give in a tangible way. But use this season to engage in this journey of self-denial to see God's kingdom furthered in a very tangible way. Finally, though, I want to invite you into a journey of humility. We see at the end of that 40-day fast that Jesus took that he is met with the possibility of, quote-unquote, having everything. Well, pick it up in verse 8. He says, next the devil took him to the peak of a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. I will give it all to you, he said, if you will just kneel down and worship me. Get out of here, Satan, Jesus told him, for the scriptures say, you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Then the devil went away and angels came and took care of Jesus. Jesus could have come and had it all. Instead of being born in a manger, he could have been born in a palace with doctors. Instead of being in the wilderness, he could have been basking in the glory that he so deserved. But that wasn't what Christ was about. He was about lowering and humbling himself, even to the point of total humility as he portrayed on the cross. And in that act of total humility, we can realize not only how much God loves us, but what he has called us from. Psalm 103, verse 13 and 14 says, the Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him, for he knows how weak we are. He remembers we are only dust. Those are humbling words. We are but dust. It doesn't get any lower than that. And in a moment, we will invite you to come forward to have ashes put on your head to remind us of this mysterious truth. In the meantime, though, humility can start with us as an act of surrender to our God. Let's be in continual surrender to the Lord that we might worship him with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. At New Life, the past several months, we've been trying to cast this vision that we would be a vibrant and reproducing church, vibrant being Christ alive in us and reproducing Christ alive in others, that we would be people who live out the greatest commandment, love the Lord and love others, and the Great Commission. And what better way to start engaging in this vision for our church than during this season of Lent? That we would be engaging in this journey towards the cross with an attitude of repentance, Christ alive in us, towards self-denial, towards loving others, and towards humility, loving and worshiping our God. And as the band comes back up right now, we want to give you a few moments to reflect and surrender yourself back to God. I invite you to listen to the words and the beauty of the music that you're about to hear, but let your heart and your mind be attuned to what the Holy Spirit is speaking to you now. Let's pray. Jesus, we just thank you for the example that you set for us, that you came to this earth in humility and in love. And so we just take these moments right now and we just surrender to you, to your work, to your will. In your name.